This morning, we're talking about expectations, holy expectations, and I'm going to read our passage first. We're going to continue where we left off with Christmas. We're going to just keep on waltzing through Luke here. I'm going to read verses 22 through 38, and this is Jesus being presented at the temple. You can follow along in your pew Bible if you'd like. It's page 833. We'll also throw it up here on the screen for you as well. It begins like this, verse 22 of chapter 2 of Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon ran into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but worshiped there with fasting and prayer day and night. In that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we ask, as we recount this moment in your life, the impact it had on those around you, Lord, help us to learn from it. Help us to grow from it. Help us as we look into 2024 to have the kind of expectation that Simeon and Anna had. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Recently, I was made aware of a woman by the name of Emma Cotton. Anybody know Emma Cotton? Kind of sound familiar, maybe? I hadn't heard of her either until very recently. She's better known as Mother Emma Cotton. And she was an African-American woman born in 1877 in Louisiana. And in the first year of the Azusa Street Revival, Emma received what she felt like was a word from the Lord to just leave everything and go to California for what would be a great awakening of the Spirit. Let me ask you, were there any challenges to being a young to middle-aged African-American woman in the turn of the century? Would it have been complicated for her to just leave southern Louisiana and go all the way to California? Absolutely, absolutely. Were there any good reasons to say, maybe that's not from the Lord? I would say, yeah, absolutely. I could rationalize that pretty quick, right? She did not. She took the risk and went anywhere. And when she arrived, she met the great revival leader pretty quick, William Seymour. And Reverend Seymour would see in her gifts and talents that no one else had up to that point. And therefore, he opened the doors for her to move around, preaching, teaching, praying for people. And really, she was on the forefront of the Azusa Street revival. However, there was something that happened to Emma that really launched her. I mean, open doors always help, but she had a little more help than that. Up to that point, Emma had like an early onset cancer in her nasal cavity. It was really painful. And she asked for prayer for it. And right after the prayer, the pain that was causing went away. And apparently so did the cancer. Or at least it did for 44 years. It did come back, but it was 44 years later. Do you think the Lord had plans for Emma's life? Absolutely. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the plans were that she planted 8 churches from Oakland down to Los Angeles. The last one she pastored with her husband, because she met a fella, and they pastored that well into their retirement. She spoke all over the country, did prayer services all over the country, opened a home for women in need, and through this she became one of the fixtures of the Azusa Street revival. And I go back to that moment, though, where she felt like the Lord was saying, go to California. Something's going on there. That was a turning point, wasn't it? I bring all this up. It's not because of the successes. They're great, but success is the Lord's, right? Can we agree on that? That our successes really, they belong to the Lord. That's the Lord being faithful to or working through the obedience of his servants. What captivates me about Mother Emma Cotton is that she had to have a holy expectation of what God could do. A holy expectation of what God could do. And despite honest complications of her obedience, she says, yes, I will go wherever the Lord tells me to go. I don't even know what awaits there. And that to me is holy expectation. It's knowing that the Lord will do it. That he's good. He's faithful. He's the faithful one. Our obedience is only the beginning of seeing his faithfulness. And as I'm looking at 2024 and I'm thinking about Emma Cotton, I wonder what prevents me from growing in holy expectation, really longing for the things that only God can do. And I came up with the answer. Are you ready? It's me. I'm the one that gets in the way of growing in holy expectation. I'm sure nobody else can resonate with this. And you don't have to. And so I want this year to be different. I want to look at 2024. I want more than a New Year's resolution. I mean, I've got plenty of room for those too. But I want the kind of attitude walking into 2024 that says, God, what could you do that is just beyond what I could fathom? How do I look at this whole year of just, let's see you move. Let's see you do something wonderful. So we have this text this morning. It's kind of a masterclass in holy expectation. Simeon and Anna are some pretty amazing people. And we're picking up with right where Christmas left off. You know, Luke doesn't do the Magi. He doesn't do the fleeing to Egypt. He actually, oddly even, kind of goes with the important part of the Jewish understanding is that these were parents who kept the law. And part of the law was they needed to take Jesus to be, they needed to go themselves to be cleansed, but then they needed to take Jesus and have him ceremoniously brought before the priests, right? And they do this, but as they do it, they meet this guy named Simeon. Now, who's Simeon? He kind of comes off as a priest, doesn't he? Anybody ever felt like, yeah, this guy's probably a priest? Except it doesn't tell us he's a priest. As a matter of fact, there really are no details of who he is. And so most scholars think if they don't say it, you know, if it looks like a duck, sounds like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. But if it doesn't look like a duck and doesn't sound like a duck and doesn't quack like a duck, let's not call it a duck. And if it doesn't say he's a priest, let's not call him a priest. And I kind of like that. And this is why. Because here's a man who's just a normal, ordinary guy who loves God and is therefore very, very close to him. To me, this says ordinary people like Simeon, like Anna, like Mother Emma Cotton, can have great holy expectations. You and I can have holy expectations. So Simeon's holy expectation was centered around the word that the Lord revealed to him. Verse 26 tells us, it had been revealed to death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And of course, you know how the story goes. Mary and Joseph arrive. Jesus comes, and once again, people have these encounters with Jesus. He can't even talk yet. And yet, it's phenomenal. It's the Messiah right there. And based on what they say, it's obvious. They know who this is. Anna and Simeon, they know who this is because they're praising God. Simeon sings this beautiful song in praise of God. Anna, she's over the moon. They know who they've encountered. Simeon knows who he's encountered. He's waited his whole life for this moment. Rebecca and I have this phrase we use. We call it Jesus moments. And these are just moments of encounter. Joy in the Lord, of seeing, as I said earlier, the faithfulness of God working through the obedience of his servants. And Simeon and Anna are right in the middle of a Jesus moment of extraordinary proportions. But what stood out to me in reading it this time around was they couldn't have gotten there if they didn't have holy expectations, right? Just like Emma, if she didn't have expectations of what God could do, she doesn't leave Louisiana. If they're not waiting for it, they don't get to it, do they? So what does it mean to grow in holy expectations? Well, I think first it means that we're people who are developing holy character. Holy character. In other words, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, shaping the desires of our hearts. Do you see how Simeon was described in verse 25? What are the two big words there? He's righteous and devout. Wouldn't you love that being said about you? Yeah, that Alan, that guy is righteous and devout. If they only knew, right? Yeah. Righteous means how he interfaces with other people, right? He does good by other people. Devout means how he interacts with God. He is good by those things that he does with God. It's kind of like Simeon already gets those two great commandments, right? Love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. That's how Simeon lives his life. He's a man of holy character. And it almost makes too much sense, doesn't it? That the only way we could ever move towards holy expectations is to have the kind of character that would want those sort of expectations, right? It's like an Olympian. The way they exercise is different from the way Josh Madrinsky exercises. Why is that? Because they have the character that believes they could do something so much more. I'm just really happy if I'm not sore and my pants are fitting well and things like that. My expectations are way lower, right? But you look at what their character is. Their character says, I'm going to get up. I work out 2 or 3 times a day to accomplish what I expect of myself. They have the kind of character that pursues those kind of expectations. So as we look to 2024 with this in mind, one thing I would do to encourage our faith and maybe even catalyze our sense of holy expectation is to take time today, maybe tomorrow if you don't have time, but to kind of do what we did this morning and look back at the year and ask yourself, where did the Lord grow me this year? Not where am I just thankful, but where did he actually grow me? What books did I read, or what service did I go to, or what discipline did I pursue, or what hard season did the Lord bring me through? And I can look back at that and say, he did grow me this year. My holy character actually grew this year in that moment. You never see it in the moment, right? It's kind of like when grandparents see the kids and they're like, wow, you got so tall. And the parents are like, oh, yeah, I guess they did. But the parents never notice it, do they? Because they're with them every single day. When you're living in it, it's just life, right? But when you look back at it and you see, wow, actually the Lord grew me this year. Maybe even grew me in some ways I wasn't expecting to be grown, but he did. Let that be a catalyst for what the Lord will do this year. But if you find yourself looking back on the year and thinking, I don't really know if the Lord grew me at all in my devotion, I can't really see something. That's your launching place for 2024. Right there. That's your prayer as you begin a year of holy expectation. Lord, I want this to be a year that I grow closer to you. Will you show me how to do that? Will you place godly community in my life so that I can be sharpened? Will you intentionally pursue the rough places of my desires and smooth them out? Lord, grow in me holy character this year. So that's the first way we grow towards holy expectations, is we grow in holy character. We grow in this, those, our desires are shaped by his desires, right? Second way, though, is holy voice. We grow in holy expectation through growing in a holy voice. What is our holy voice? Well, it's prayer. But with an emphasis in understanding your identity as someone who has the joy and authority to speak with our Father in heaven. I keep using this word holy. What does the word holy mean? I'm hearing set apart, right? To make something uncommon instead of common. So we have these set apart, these uncommon expectations, right? We have this set apart or uncommon character, especially contrasted to the world. But we also have this set apart, this uncommon voice. I see that in Anna. She knew the value of her voice before her Father in heaven. People who have holy expectations know that they've been given a holy voice, a set-apart privilege of blessing and knowing our Father through conversation. You can't bring have holy expectations if you can't bring those expectations before the Lord. I'm reminded of, I know I've used this before, but I love this scene. It's a perfect scene. Anybody familiar with the movie Anna and the King? Different Anna. There's this wonderful scene there where it's showing the throne room of the King of Siam, and these beautiful doors open up to the throne room, and below the camera level, this little girl runs in, and you see her right past the guards. You see her run right past these dignitaries and all these people. And there's this big conversation being had right at the throne with the king. And she runs right past the people who are having the conversations. She goes right up, right straight up to the throne. She goes right to the king. She crawls right up into his lap and then whispers something into his ear. And he stops everything to listen to this little girl. Why? Because she's his daughter. All the dignitaries in the world, all the most important people in the world don't have the set apart access that the daughter has to her father. Brothers and sisters, do you see yourselves as sons and daughters who have unlimited access to your Father in heaven, who bless him with your voice, who can tell him anything? Anything. It's holy. It's holy. You have a holy voice. As you look at the year 2024, longing for holy expectations, perhaps this is a year where you grow in that identity as a son or a daughter who has a holy voice to come to your Father in heaven with regularity and with anything. One more. There's like seven or eight points to the sermon, by the way. I had to whittle it down. And so, but these were three that really just stood out to me. I mean, these people had holy timing. They had a sense of holy life. They lived this life of being in the presence of God. But there was one that they had that really stood out to me. And it's the one that, if we're not careful, we'll look at this one and say, oh, well, that makes them very different from me, because that makes them, you know, they're like upper echelon followers. Simeon and Anna were empowered people, weren't they? Did you notice that? These were people who moved comfortably in the gifts that the Spirit of God had placed upon them. They lived into it. I mean, almost to a point of identity. They were so comfortable that Simeon literally walks into the temple that day being guided by the Holy Spirit. I go back to Emma. What if she didn't leave? What if Simeon didn't walk into the temple that day? He'd have missed it. He waited his whole life for this moment. Can you imagine what he would have felt like if the next day Anna was like, you would not have believed who showed up to the temple yesterday. Crestfallen. It's probably not even an appropriate word, is it? Thank goodness. This was the guy who was led by the Holy Spirit and showed up to the temple, literally guided by the Spirit to go to the temple that day. And I know it can read like, yeah, but this is Anna and Simeon. I'm going to make them one word here in a little bit, Amion. But once again, who were they? Was Simeon anything special? No, he's just an ordinary guy like you and me who loves God and is close to him. But unlike the ordinary people of the world, something that they understood was the value of Zechariah 4:6. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Almighty. This is critical if we're going to grow in holy expectation, St. Giles. Because remember, who gets in the way of holy expectations? I get in the way of holy expectations. It's all me. It's all me. Therefore, if I believe it's all on me to make the desires of the Lord pass into my life or my family or my vocation or my realm of influence or my church or this world, if it's all on me, then chances are, what will I do with holy expectations? I will not step into them. Why? They're too big. They're too beautiful. They're too wonderful. Marvelous. Beyond me. They're beyond me. That's why it is so critical. If we're going to be people who have holy expectations, we have to be people who are willing to work in whatever gifts and talents that the Lord places upon us so that we can step into them. Holy gifts, we could call them. We're people growing in holy character, holy voice, and holy gifts. The set-apart gifts for kingdom work. Learning that God can do infinitely more through us than we can do on our own. There's this wonderful illustration that soccer coaches like to use. Who knows what a ball hog is? Anybody know what a ball hog is? You know what a ball hog is, Patrick? This is somebody who won't pass the ball. They want to do it all on their own. So what a soccer coach will do is they'll send them on a line. They'll say, oh, wait, what I want you to do, we'll just pretend this is a soccer field. Bear in mind with me, will you? And there's the midfield at the end of the sanctuary. And they'll say, what I want you to do is I want you to go as fast as you can. I want you to dribble as fast as you can all the way to midfield. You ready? Yeah, go. And then they take off. They take a ball and they boom, and they hit it down there. And they say, who got there faster? Who got there faster, your ball or my ball? What are they teaching? Pass the ball. We move so much faster when you work with your team, right? It's amazing, brothers and sisters. We've been given the most beautiful gift in all creation. The Spirit who dwells within us, works through us, is able to do infinitely more than we could dream of in our own. But it is hard to get it out of our minds to pass the ball. to not dribble it on our own. You don't have to do it on your own. The Lord's not calling you to do it on your own. He's calling you to revel in his glory, to see what only he can do. And once again, we don't step into holy expectation unless we really believe God will do it. Because we know our hearts. We don't have it, do we? We don't have it. So as you're looking into 2024 this year, could this be a year that God does, that I could just look to what God could do? What God could do? And I'm going to say this because how old were Simeon and Anna? They were old. They were old. I'm glad you said it, not me. And it seems the older they got, the greater their expectations grew. Amen? Sometimes I feel like when I talk about expectations and exciting things, people are like, well, there's the young preacher talking. But I think this passage is pointing towards those of you who have been walking this out for a long time. Are your expectations growing? Are they growing and growing and growing? Because they should be. They should be. I want to pray over us this morning. I think the challenge is all three of these for us, but there might be one of these in particular where you really feel like the Lord is saying, this year, this is where I've got you. I want you to just grab onto this with everything you've got. And maybe that is to grow in holy character. There are some things I want you to work through because I am making you holy. Maybe there's a holy voice. The Lord is saying, I really want the lines to be clear between you and I. I want to be able to talk with you like you talk to the person next to you. I want your expectation of what I could do to be astronomical. And I want you to do that by asking me. Or maybe this is a year where the Lord's saying, you know, I've given you gifts and I've given you talents. And it's time to wake those things up. It's time for a season of activation of those gifts of talents. Let me do it. Let me do it. Let this be a year where you grow in those gifts and talents. I meant to put those up here. Let me do that real quick. What kind of gifts and talents am I talking about? See, I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. And prone to leave the notes I know. When you look at these, what stands out on those? Do you know what yours are? Have you ever moved in them and you felt like, yeah, this is what the Lord has done in me? Or are you looking at it saying, I have no idea what's on that list. I don't know what my gifts are. That sounds crazy. Look at it. Something jump off that list to you? Something jump off that list and you say, I don't think I have it. I don't know if I have it, but I sure like it. I feel like where the Lord has placed me, I could really use that right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're looking at 2024, and this is a joyful morning, but Lord, I'm going to be totally honest and just say, Lord, there's a lot up in the air as we glance to 2024. There's a lot up in the air. There's a lot up in the air in the world. There might be a lot up in the air in our lives. But our first confession is this. We want to have holy expectations for what only you can do. And so, Father, I pray, whichever one of those three pieces really stood out, we want to experience you more and more. We want to experience you more and more. We want to have the joy of Simeon and beyond. So, Lord, if there's part of our character that you're trying to grow this year, would you reveal it to us? Lord, if there's a voice that you're opening up within us, this holy voice, Lord, would we not feel guilt or shame to come to you, but instead feel an overwhelming sense of excitement? Birth within us just an excitement to speak with you. And Lord, if there are gifts of the Spirit that you are ready to activate in us, grow in us for this season, then we just simply ask, Holy Spirit, would you fall on us? Would you take those seeds and blossom them? Would you give us the contexts we need to grow in them? We can have the most beautiful gifts. You can have a remote control car, but if you don't have anywhere to run it, it just sits on the shelf. We can have the gifts of teaching and exhortation and service, but if we don't have a place, they just sit on the shelf. Lord, I ask now, would you raise those up? Would you give us a place to grow in them? And would you give us the confidence to move in them? We have holy expectation for what only you can do, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.